This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. I'm Todd Hummel. Did I just say the Tuesday edition? It's the Wednesday edition, and that's why it's just me right now. As you well know, Steve has quarterback club on Wednesdays, and he will return at some point in the next half hour. The Nittany Lions will host UCLA at noon on Saturday. That game will be on Eagle 107, I think. Pre-game starts at 10:30. Steve and Jack on kickoff at a little after 12 at Beaver Stadium. That game is on Fox. Should be a fun one on Saturday. We will have Ben Bolsch of the LA Times in the 205 segment to talk a little at UCLA. Chris Wheeler joins us at 2:35 to discuss a little bit about Pete Rose. Of course, Chris was a broadcaster for the Phillies when Pete played for them back in the 80s. So it should be a fun conversation about a pretty complicated man. Steve and I spent a little time talking about Pete at the beginning of the show yesterday. I'm pretty excited baseball-wise. The Mets won last night to take a 1-0 lead against the Brewers. Royals lead 1-0 against the Orioles. Tigers, Tarik Skubal. You know, it's not a household name to most people, but man, that dude can shove it. He's probably the favorite for the AL Cy Young Award, and he shut down the Astros yesterday. The Tigers lead 1-0. I believe same time order today. Astros and Tigers open it in a half an hour. Then the Orioles and the Royals are at 4:30, followed by the Mets and the Brewers. I don't think I got the Braves in there. Padres lead that series 1-0. Former Yankee Michael King threw a shutout last night, or threw seven innings of shutout ball, I guess, against the Braves, and looked real good in that game. I think the first pitch of that game tonight is 8:35. Get into a little high school football here. We haven't talked much about last week yet. Shikalimi finally got their first win. They beat Central Mountain 41-0 last week. I wrote a little column in the paper about, you know, maybe it was probably finally time for the Braves to move on and to, you know, finally have something good happen and develop a little confidence. And that was a huge one for them last week. Went out, played well. Thomas Pollock had two touchdown catches. The defense dominated, spread the ball around in the running game. Three different running backs had at least 50 yards. And now the Braves play the Seals, Selinsgrove, in the Rally in the Valley. Of course, those two rivals. It is Selinsgrove's homecoming on Friday night. That one should be a fun one. We'll get more into that one, of course, tomorrow on the High School Football Roundtable with the Chief Dave Ritchie and Coach Steve Briggs, the announcers for those games. I was at Selinsgrove and Shamokin last week. It was a pretty interesting game. Shamokin returned the opening kickoff, 96 yards for a touchdown by Chase Pencil. Selinsgrove answered. Pencil missed the extra point after his long kickoff return, so the Seals had a 7-6 lead for the good part of the first half until late in the first half. They got the ball back along the 6 and picked up two first downs and was near midfield with about a minute and a half left and decided to go for the score. Was forced to punt, and Shamokin was able to drive down, take advantage of a pass interference call, and get a field goal and take the lead, and kind of never looked back. And now Shamokin has another tough one this week. They head up to Williamsport, who is 4-2 but has lost two straight games. They lost their last two games to Selins Grove and Jersey Shore. Shamokin wins that one. That will clinch an outright Heartland Athletic Conference title. And we'll be probably looking at, if Shamokin gets that one, I'm assuming Lewisburg's going to beat 0-6 Midwest on Friday night as well. We'll be looking at an undefeated Lewisburg and an undefeated Shamokin next week in a pretty big showdown out at Shamokin. So that should be a fun one as well, because Lewisburg did real well last week. And, you know, it's kind of been their MO. They've played okay in the first half, you know, either been down by a little bit or gotten the lead, you know, led by a little bit and then taking control in the second half. And that's exactly what they did. Their running game was outstanding once again. Jeremiah Davis had three touchdown runs. And they just, you know, they played real well. And, you know, they clinched a tie for the Heartland Athletic Conference Division II, needing a win this week against Midwest. And the Green Dragons are having a great season, and we'll talk a little bit about that little Lewisburg Midwest game tomorrow with Greg Wetzel. Once again, our high school roundtable will be at 1:35 tomorrow. There's some fun ones this week as well. Danville, we talked a little bit about Danville Southern last week. Danville did not have a lot of problems with the Tigers, only gave up one touchdown. Southern ended up with 8 points, but one of those came on a safety on a holding call in the end zone by the Ironmen. And the interesting part about Danville, you know, they racked up all those passing numbers last year and really didn't really run the ball well until late in the season. And it's kind of been the opposite. And we've talked a little bit about Bo Sheptock, and he's the first area rusher to top 1,000 yards so far this season. But the other big thing for them is Madden Patrick's been using his legs real well, and that was a big key in the win over Southern, is he was able to escape some pressure and scramble for two touchdowns early in the game to make it a quick 14-0 lead. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of what Mount Carmel's defense does. And that's the big game this week. Danville is number one in Class 3A and is 6-0, while Mount Carmel is ranked number 7 statewide and is 5-1. And these two teams have, you know, we kind of think when this is probably might be the first of two meetings, because both are, I think, Danville is number 2 seed right now behind Lewisburg in the playoff ratings, with Mount Carmel, I believe, 4. So, you know, we got a good shot at this being the first of two meetings between these two teams. I think Mount Carmel's offense and offensive line are a little better, a little more ready to take on that Danville defense. So I think their offense might be able to do a little bit more than Southern was last week. And Mount Carmel, you know, if Danville's not the top secondary defensively in the area, Mount Carmel might be. And this should be a fun little matchup between the Danville passing game, and that's finally getting healthy. You know, Cole Duffy leads them in receiving, but Carter Raup was kind of, you know, second to Aaron Johnson in their big season last year, but he's been banged up since the second week of the season. He came back last week, so the Danville passing game is kind of ready to roll, and it should be a fun one at, I almost called it FQ Hartman. I'm showing my age at Ironman Stadium. We talked a little bit about Williamsport and Shamokin earlier. Shamokin heading up to Williamsport, just can't get caught looking ahead at Lewisburg. Hopefully they learned a little bit from last week. Coach Persing did say after the game that, you know, it's probably the Selins Grove was the first team that probably matched up with them physically so far this season, and he really liked what he saw, you know, how his team responded to it, especially in the second half. So it should be interesting to see how they handle that road trip up to Williamsport as a 6-0 favorite and you know, not getting caught looking ahead to next week. The other big game this week is, again, Loyalsock, who is now 4-2 with its losses to Southern Columbia and Lewisburg, will take on Warrior Run, who bounced back from that loss to Lewisburg 2 weeks ago and improved to 5-1 with a 70-24 victory over North Penn Mansfield last week. And that was an interesting game. I think it was 28-24, I think, Warrior Run at half. They scored 35 points in the third quarter. You know, I think it was before the Lewisburg game with Warrior Run coach Derek Zekman about senior Eli Butler, who has kind of taken a step forward to them on both sides of the ball. And he was outstanding Friday night. He had 303 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. He had 1 catch for, I think, 28 yards, and then he had a pick 6 interception and a kickoff return for a touchdown. Plus, he added a team-high 10 tackles for the defenders. So great game for Eli Butler up in the Northern Tier last week. We'll cover some other things after we take this break. You're listening to The Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve is at Quarterback Club. Penn State hosts UCLA noon Saturday. Pregame 10:30 on Eagle 107.3 FM here. Bucknell is off this week. I did not forget the Bison this week. Bucknell is down at the University of Pennsylvania next Saturday, October 12th. Then Susquehanna is also on the road this week. They are down at Catholic in Washington, D.C. So that's the local college schedule for this week. Once again, Ben Bolsch of the L.A. Times will join us at 2:05 to talk a little bit of UCLA football. Chris Wheeler at 2:35 to discuss Pete Rose and his legacy. Was looking around to talk a little bit of other thing, you know, other local stuff besides high school football. I don't think I mentioned in this little segment last week that Shikellamy's Jilly Divert became the school's all-time leading soccer scorer, and as we've moved on, they knocked off rival Selinsgrove last night 4-1, and she had two more goals. She is now up to 96 goals in her career, 4 goals short of 100. Should be interesting. You know, Jilly's the type of scorer that she could get that in the next game the Braves play tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. Just a little fun one yesterday in boys soccer. I think if you follow local high school sports around here, Lewisburg's been one of the top boys soccer programs over the last 10 years around here, and they had a fun win yesterday with Milton, who has kind of given them the run for their money the last couple years, along with Midwest. Milton actually jumped out to a 3-0 lead in like the first 23 minutes of the game yesterday, and then Lewisburg came all the way back and scored 4 unanswered to win 4-3. So that was kind of a fun one last week. Something else I saw, you know, we've talked a lot about the Dartmouth case and during the summer about the Dartmouth players, you know, suing to be recognized as employees and employees as the school to help. And I saw yesterday an interesting, Dartmouth is not engaging with the National Labor Relations Board in making the students employees. So the National Labor Relations Board asked for a summary judgment yesterday to make the Dartmouth basketball players employees. Since Dartmouth, the university itself, did not show up to defend itself, I guess. So we'll see how that goes over the next couple weeks. We talked a little bit the last, you know, we talked with Brett McMurphy on Tuesday, yesterday, and then Friday with Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, with just all that's going on with college sports and college football, with the realignment below, you know, a level below the I guess what now is the Power Four conferences in football. And just, You know, I think we talked a little bit about Gonzaga playing, going to joining the Pac-12, strictly for basketball since they don't have football. You know, kind of the things the Mountain West is doing to try and keep eight teams so they can keep their position as a Division I conference and possibility to get one of those spots in the college football playoffs. And I feel like this is one of those times that we're going to look back at in 5 years, and this is just the beginning, I think, of the reimagining of college sports, and what it means to be a college athlete in these different levels. I think we talked in the spring that somebody proposed like a super league for football that, I don't think doesn't have much traction, but they stated some more ideas behind that and put some names to some faces on some of the people that are behind trying to create that super league. And I get why people don't want it, but it's one of those things where, we need some rules, we need some guide rails, and the NCAA has been so ineffectual in this and setting up rules and setting up, things that can be done, so it doesn't get out of control. So we don't have, we don't have quarterbacks leaving teams in the middle of the season because they say they were promised something that they didn't get, and the school says that they never said those things like happened at UNLV and the former Holy Cross quarterback Matt Sluka. So I think in the end, like the Super League is going to fail, but I think at some point that we end up with something along those lines, in the sense that, there's going to almost have to be different rules for the bigger schools once the House settlement comes through. If we're talking now, the little amount, the least amount right now is $22.5 million. if some of these. I think Steve and I have talked about this ad nauseum this spring and summer. Some of these private schools or state schools in these conferences like the ACC are going to be hard-pressed to come up with this money all the time, every single year. And it's going to take somebody to be forward-thinking to kind of figure this out instead of being reactionary, which is obviously what they are doing now. Waiting for the NCAA is waiting for the government to do something. The government is waiting for, taking care of way more important things than college sports to kind of reach in, to stick their nose into this yet. And as long as the NCAA keeps waiting and waiting and waiting, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse with stranger things happening. I'm with Steve on this. I NIL to me was, for the quarterback at Bloomsburg University to be able to do a car commercial for somebody like Alexander's or somebody at Penn State to promote, a Penn State car dealership, or, you couldn't even give, trained high school kids, on your name as your quarterback as a college to run some classes or some, things in the summertime. So, I see that part of it, but it's just, I think at this point, with the collectives and full-on pay, it wasn't what a lot of people thought it was going to be. And I think we've seen if you're not going to have rules and you're going to let people do what they want, it's going to get out of control. It's going to get worse. This whole thing started 18 months ago with Jalen Rashada being promised, I think it was $13 million by the collective at Florida, and ended up, being a controversy and not ending up there. So I think in the end, we're just going to need some more rules. I'm not a rules guy, but I think it's very clear we need rules. And it's just, it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out over the next 12 to 18 months, where these teams end up. Do we get some rules? Does the government step in? Is there another entity? Does something happen that we talked a little bit yesterday about the SEC and the Big Ten meeting? Do the conferences just come together and make their own, rules enforcement or I think that seems a little bit, I don't think they can enforce their own rules, but I think you know what I mean. So we're coming up here on our 1:30 break here on News Radio 1070. You're listening to The Steve Jones Show. We are sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, Brewers Outlet, and Purdy Insurance.
Hi, I'm Pat Marolo.
in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve's not back yet from Quarterback Club. The Nittany Lions host UCLA on Saturday at noon at Beaver Stadium. Pregame 10:30 on 107.3, Eagle 107. Sorry about that. I always have to think that through. They were on 1070 for so long. I don't want to say the wrong station. We're talking a little bit at the top of the show about the baseball playoffs. Something that came out this morning is the, I was not around much early in the free agency period last year for baseball. But if you remember, it took a long time for people to get signed. And one of the big reasons was the uncertainty in the TV contracts, with the local TV contracts, with the Diamond Sports Group being in bankruptcy, and they've been fighting in the courts about what they're going to do about that almost all season, and it came out this morning that Diamond is going to relinquish the rights to, I believe they have 12 baseball teams, are going to relinquish the rights to the television rights to 11 of them and just keep the Braves for next year. So that should be something to keep an eye on once these playoffs wind up and we head into free agency and later on in the offseason for baseball, kind of see how that affects how these teams spend their money. What's interesting to me is, I think, the local sports bubble is kind of what allowed baseball to, get these kind of contracts and pay the players this much and have the salaries skyrocket so much over the last probably 10, 12 years. It's going to be interesting to see if this kind of, if this is the way that salaries end up getting under control is the owners don't have as much money as they thought they were going to. It's also going to be interesting to see what happens to these local TV rights. I've seen a lot of speculation, on The Athletic from Andrew Marchand and a couple other TV writers that I read that, this is going to be a way for ESPN Plus and maybe another streamer to kind of get involved in local TV rights and have, pick up some of these teams that won't have local TV for local cable TV. I think the Rangers are one. I think the Padres are another. What's interesting is how, if they do go local streaming, how do they get around the Major League blackout stuff?
Well, first of all, local streaming, that's going to end up. First of all, look, the key is, and this is where sports makes a major mistake with streaming, and they make a major mistake with it. Streaming needs to be a supplement. Okay? It does not mean that it should be the primary outlet for something. Now, if you're in the NFL and you want to take your Thursday night package, which is one game a week, and do it, yeah, they can do it. All right? Baseball's 162 games, hockey's 82, and when you're sitting there and you want to stream everything, you cannot force your fans to stream it. The goal is to get as many viewers as possible. not the other way around. And this is the part that I think sports people make a major mistake. And I mean a major mistake. With trying to force streaming onto fans. No. Now look at the game on Saturday night. The game was on NBC, right? But the game was, you know, and they always do the supplement on Peacock. That's the way to do it. That way you're hitting both the streaming audience and you're hitting the primary over-the-air audience. That's how you go about business. And the problem with the regional networks is simple. They got into these big contracts, which they did, and as time went, they couldn't back it up. And the problem, what Major League Baseball did, which then went into hockey and basketball and so forth, is they thought that the pot was endless on money. And teams were relying so much on regional sports networks' money, and it turned out these regional networks started going belly up. And there's the issue. Now, you do have local. Like, that's why Cotrillo works for $1.95 for whatever it is he's on. They don't pay as much money. What? What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about? He cries poverty every time he's on the show.
It's not a small club.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be interesting to me just that, you know, if there's nothing available locally and they have to stream, I wonder how, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it works. How's that?
I think it's going to work well.
No, I don't.
Okay? I'd rather go back to over-the-air TVs.
I have Prime, and that the Yankees are on like a couple Friday nights in the summer, and some of those I get, and some of those I don't. And
well, it's because Apple may have them that night. That's the reason. And the thing about Apple, what Major League Baseball did with Apple was simple. ESPN cut back. Let's just pick a dollar amount. I can't remember what the number was. It may have been, I don't know, may have been $250 million. We're cutting back. We're not doing Wednesday Night Baseball anymore. I think they used to do like a Wednesday-Friday thing, then Sunday Night Baseball. We're only going to do Sunday Night Baseball. Okay. No more Friday nights. So what they did was they sold Friday nights to Apple for the exact amount that they lost from ESPN. Literally, the exact amount. And that's how they replaced the revenue. And they also made it exclusive. So YES Network can't carry the Yankees. NBC Sportsnet Philly couldn't carry the Phillies if they were on the Apple. Game of the Week, Nesson can't carry the Red Sox. So on and so forth. So that's how it worked. That's why it happened. They were trying to replace revenue they lost from ESPN. And streaming only is a mistake. It's a mistake. You can't force people to sit there. I want to watch them. People don't want to watch in their laptops. Okay? Or their iPads. Now, you can, and I've done this with video highlights that I'll sit down and I'll watch video of teams. I can mirror my iPad to the TV. So I can do that. Yes, more technical prowess than you realize there, Hummel.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yes.
People are going to think you're young.
I know. They're going to think I'm some sort of kid. Au contraire, but that's what happens with you can do that. Now, I get Prime on my TV, so that's not an issue. But the goal is to maximize audience. You don't cut off parties. You know, I heard one day we're going to have a streaming Super Bowl. Just stop it. Do you want people to watch it or not? I keep going back to the playoff game where you're bragging about having 23 million on Peacock. That's a record. Well, guess what? If you put it on over-the-air NBC, okay, you could have 38 to 40 million people. So you took 17 million people, gave them the middle finger, and moved on. And called it a success.
Man, I find it hard to believe that those TV executives would be that dumb to give up all that Super Bowl ad revenue to stream, just stream the Super Bowl.
This is the league.
Yeah.
This is the league. Okay? Yeah.
The league is paid by the television networks. I don't think that's happening.
But
soon.
I'm saying this has been brought up. Yeah. Like, really, this has been brought up. And I don't know. We are in a time where they're trying to accelerate the streaming part of it, and America's not ready for it. You use streaming to supplement. That way you're getting both audiences, the people that have cut the cord and want to stream, and those that still have the cord and want to see it over the air. That's how you do it. The goal is to maximize audience so people are excited and interested in what you're doing. Because guess what? If you do this in such a way where you're cutting off part of the audience, the longer you do that, the less interested they're going to become. Happens over and over again. There are a lot of options out there, entertainment-wise. As I found out last night with Jelly Roll. You know, Jelly Roll was here last night.
I do know. I had some friends that went.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about going over to basketball practice. And I was like, they're not going to let me in the building. And the line of cars. So the line of cars down University Drive when I left football practice just kept going and going and going. So I just came out, made a right on University Drive from Hastings, went down and took the Clover and got onto College Avenue. And the line of cars on College Avenue was off the charts. So what's the point of that? That's an entertainment option. That wasn't a sports option last night. That was music. That was entertainment. He sold the place out, by the way. Jordan said it was sold out last night.
I mean, it's close, but it wouldn't. I mean, he might have sold out Beaver like Luke Combs did.
Right. I'm just saying. But that's he sold it out last night. My point is, for sports, there are other entertainment options. That's an example of one of them last night that sold out. And that's why you can't keep playing games with the TV audience like some leagues are doing. Now, I don't think Major League Baseball did it to make up revenue, but it's not successful. I mean, I get more complaints from people complaining about. I remember when the year Judge hit 62, they played, I think it was the Red Sox on a Friday night. It was on Apple Plus, and nobody saw the game. People were so upset because it wasn't on their local cable. The goal is to get people excited and interested. It is not to dictate how they do it. Last I checked, I'll give you an example. Look at what we do. I know it didn't work out on Friday night because it was a technical issue, but taking the radio play-by-play and putting it on the SBC YouTube channel is brilliant. Giving people the option of seeing the game to go with the radio broadcast. So there. You know, I mean, that's just a couple thoughts.
That's, I was going to say that might have been the best thing to come out of the pandemic was these schools deciding to, you know, to stream most of their games. I get to see a lot of football games every weekend now that I did not have the opportunity to catch up on even right. 5 years ago.
Right. Again, multiple options for people to watch. For example, Penn State's game with USC is going to be on CBS. 3:30 Eastern time. Well, it turns out if you are somebody that you cut the, you know, whether it's a cord cutting, whatever, but you prefer Paramount Plus, it's going to be a Paramount Plus as well as a supplement. Perfect. It's the way it should be. Wheels is on today. We're going to talk about Pete Rose. Yeah, we'll do that. You know, that was a golden time for Phillies baseball. Finally won the World Series. They'd been the only team to that point in the majors that had never won the whole thing. And he was a driving force behind it. Driving force. And, yeah. And most Phillies fans think that he played his whole career there. I'm just kidding. Kidding!
You don't have HBO or Max, do you?
No, I don't. I don't.
I was going to say, they did a really... It was this summer. They did a three-parter on Pete Rose that was really good.
Well, I mean, look, it's interesting. We talk... You want to know where Pete Rose, part of Pete Rose's upbringing happened to be? It was his father. His father went to the track a lot, and he started bringing Pete with him when he was younger. So he grew up around it. Okay. Now, can some people have no problem at all and control it? Yeah. But the other part, too, is he got older and was so deeply involved in the competition of it. Betting became part of the competition. And when you start losing sometimes, you get deeper. Ohtani's interpreter is a good example of that. He kept trying to win back money he lost by attempting to go after the big score. It's always something we're always concerned about with Suit the Greek.
Has anybody ever actually hit the big score, I wonder?
Somebody actually hit the big score? Well, I mean, look, at the racetrack? At the racetrack, Girardi's hit some, you know. Yeah. You know, there was a time. Oh, God, it may have been the year Barbara won. And Dick and his brother were at the hotel, and they played Parks. You can do that online. They hit all nine races. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you go to the Breeders' Cup and you lose it all. I mean, it's like, you just don't know. The only gamble I ever took was working 2 years with the suit. That was like, oof, every day, snake eyes. All right, what? Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market it and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, great to have you with us. Yes. Whoops. There you go. Hold on a second. The Penn State UCLA Saturday noon. We're on at 10:30. Tomorrow's our high school roundtable. Is Wheels the only one we have today, by the way?
No. Ben Bullough, LA Times is next segment.
Very nice. Looking forward to that. But look, it's not as if UCLA doesn't have athletes. They got athletes. Don't make the mistake of not thinking they don't have guys that can play. They do. But right now they're struggling trying to get some things to fall into place, especially the running game. Running game's been a real struggle. Now, part of the running stats happen to be sacks, too, but they're struggling with the running game right now. What, 54 yards a game? And it's not like Harden can't run. It's not like Keegan Jones can't run. They can. It's kind of a tough time for them to have, quote, a rebuilding year. But see, this is the weekend where being in the Big Ten really becomes a reality for them. You're like, well, they've already played two Big Ten games, but they're both at home. They haven't had to go to Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. They haven't had to do it. In fact, they haven't gone anywhere yet. They've also been traveling a lot anyway. They were at Hawaii, at LSU. Ah.
Do they have to come back to Rutgers later in the year to just complete it all?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they have to do that.
Great.
And they weren't handed the greatest hand, but they also created part of that hand, too. Remember that. And when you create part of it, that is an issue. And not only that, they're also in a city where the competition's everywhere. USC, Lakers, Clippers, Rams, Chargers, Kings. I mean, they got a lot of competition for the sports dollar.